Sonny, I understand you'll be kicking off with Africa football.
Yeheus, joining us once again from Johannesburg is our African football guru, David Legg. Good evening, David.
Thank you, Sonny.
David, during Tuesday's show, Liberian football great George Weah sang an anti-Ebola song. And I also gave a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out to Michael LaHood. Michael is a midfielder for the Philadelphia Union in Major League Soccer, and he is leading an anti-Ebola campaign on social media. Are these type of soccer spokesmen effective in this fight against Ebola?
Oh, yes, Sonny. Footballers have a very special place in the hearts of all Africans, males, females, young, old. If anybody, Sonny, can get that message across, it's the footballers. And, of course, George Weah is unique. You know, we talk a lot about Abedi Pele, we talk about Didier Drogba, we talk about Samuel Eto'o, but none of them have matched George Weah. George Weah, in 1995, won the World, European, and African Footballer of the Year titles, and nobody has come close to that. To win the African Footballer of the Year title, you've got to be special, but to win the World and the European as well, you've got to be extraordinary. And in a way, I feel sad that George Weah, to some extent, Sonny, has drifted away from African football. He should be on the CAF executive committee. He should be there among the top people running the sport in Africa. I know he's got his own life to lead, and he spends a lot of his time in the United States. Voice of America! I've got great admiration for George Weah. I would say he is the greatest of the greats of African football. I think anything he does, Sonny, with this Ebola epidemic can only be beneficial. From the Sonny Side of Sport, our message is keep fighting, guys. We've got to win this battle.
Turning to African club football, David, we're getting closer to knowing the winners in both the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederation Cup competitions. Let's begin with the Champions League, David, and how about a recap of recent action?
Yes, Sonny, I'm almost embarrassed to read out the results because I'm afraid I got both semifinal predictions wrong. 0 out of 2 for David. In Lubumbashi, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, TP Mazembe of DR Congo, 3. Entente Retief of Algeria, 2. The tie finished level at 4-4 on aggregate, but Satif won on the away goal rule. And then an even bigger shock in Sfax in Tunisia. CS Sfaxien of Tunisia 1, ASV Club of DR Congo 2. V Club won 4-2 on aggregate. There's been a lot of extraordinary things happening around these results. First of all, I decided to check after the first legs of the semifinals, which V Club and Satif won 2-1, is what was the position in previous years of clubs who won those first legs by 2-1? Did they go on to the final or were they eliminated? And I thought, well, some of the clubs would have qualified for the finals and others would not. But to my absolute amazement, going right back to the start of the tournament in 1964, I discovered that 7 clubs had taken a 2-1 first leg lead in the Champions League, or as it was previously known, the Champions Cup. And not one of those clubs, Sonny, not one had qualified. They had all been eliminated after the return matches. And just on that basis alone, I was encouraged at my original predictions before the semifinals that Mazembe and Sfaxien would qualify because both had got an away goal in the first leg, so they each needed to win 1-0 at home to qualify. But we always say it, football is a strange, strange game. Sfaxien started off like a house on fire. It looked like they were going to take V Club to the cleaners. And when Derbali hammered a free kick into the net after 25 minutes to give the Tunisians the lead, the crowd, which was absolutely electric from the kickoff, went berserk. The atmosphere alone, Sonny, I thought, was going to condemn V Club to a 2 or 3 goal defeat. But to the great credit of the Congolese, they steadied their nerves, they held on, and in goalkeeper Nelson Lukong, they had an absolute star. He made several great saves because if Sfaxien had scored a second goal, I think they could have scored 3, 4, or even 5. And then just on the stroke of half time, a cross from the left a header from Dio, who comes from Burkina Faso. It beat the Tunisian goalkeeper 1-1, a very precious away goal for V Club. So at halftime, it was 1-1, and V Club ahead 3-2 on aggregate. Now, the next goal was clearly going to be crucial. As Sfaxien got it, they were level on aggregate. If V Club got it, they had a second away goal, and to me, they were guaranteed a place in the final. And that's what happened. A big mistake after 55 minutes. Boulabi, a weak-headed back pass to his goalkeeper, up-darted the Ugandan Senkamu, and he pushed the ball past the goalkeeper, ran on, and tapped it into the net. Now, Sonny, V Club were ahead 2-1 in the second leg, 4-2 on aggregate, and the Tunisians faced what was basically mission impossible. They had to score three more goals. In fact, they couldn't score any. So a really good away performance. Very few clubs go to Sfaxien and win there. And V Club winning 2-1 and 4-2 on aggregate. We've often spoke on the Sunny Side of Sport about Robert Kidiaba. He is the veteran goalkeeper of Mazembe. He's 38 years of age. He has these wonderful ponytails that he obviously takes hours to doctor before a match. And he also has this wonderful way of celebrating goals scored by his team. He bounces on his bottom around the goal mouth. And when Mazembe, Sonny, in 2010 reached the FIFA World Cup final, a sight that had become commonplace in Africa became known to supporters of football around the world. But I've wondered for a little while if he wasn't just getting a little bit past his best, if that sell-by date had been passed. And unfortunately, at the weekend, we saw confirmation that Kidiaba is not the goalkeeper that he once was. Twice, he failed to cut out crosses. The ball landed in the net. And that is why Sétif are in the final and not Mazembe. Now, Sétif, with a 2-1 lead from the first leg, they went further ahead when Viaya scored after 9 minutes. Really a shot that Kidiaba should have saved. But then back came the Congolese and Ajay, who's Ghanaian, Koulibaly, who's a Malian, and Bolingi, who is a Congolese. They all scored, and Mazembe were 3-1 ahead on the day and 4-3 ahead on aggregate. But Yunus, after 77 minutes, he put in the cross, and lo and behold, once again, a blunder by Kidiaba. He couldn't keep the ball out of the net. It was 3-2. Sétif were ahead on aggregate, and they held on in a dramatic finish. So Sétif, 3-2 losers on the day, but 4-4 on aggregate, and Sétif qualified on the away goals rule. And the final, Sonny, at the end of October and the beginning of November, the first leg will be in Kinshasa. That will be Vita against Sétif, and then the return match will be in Sétif in northeastern Algeria with Sétif at home to Vita. Sonny, you'll have to excuse me. I'm not making any predictions. It's become too hazardous now. These are two clubs who have to play in the qualifying round. And if you said to me at the start of the competition, what are the chances of a Sétif-Vita final, I would have said very slim indeed. But there you are. That's football. It looked like we were going to have that really attractive pairing of Mazembe and Sfaxien, but we haven't. It's Vita Club of the old Congo up against Anton Sétif. And both, Sonny, have won the competition before. In 1988, Sétif beat Iwuanyanu National of Nigeria. And then you've got to go way back to 1973 when Vita Club beat Ashanti Kotoko of Ghana. So both previous winners. And one of them is going to win $1.5 million and is going to go to the 2014 FIFA Club World Cup in Morocco.
And David, our VOA football fans can mark their calendars. The 2014 FIFA Club World Cup will be played in Morocco from December 10th to December 20th, when the final will be held in Marrakesh. The FIFA Club World Cup should be a good dress rehearsal ahead of the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which kicks off in Morocco in January. I gave the following basketball prediction during Tuesday's show ahead of the USA-Angola game at the FIBA Basketball World Championship for Women in Turkey. The American women will win, and they'll win by a very big margin. The USA is the defending world and Olympic champion in women's basketball, so it was a pretty safe prediction. But I didn't know just how big that margin of victory would be. The Americans crushed the Angolans 119-44. It broke the USA team record for margin of victory, surpassing a 70-point win over Senegal in 1990. Ironically, a player with African ties helped lead the USA to the huge victory over the Angolans. Neka Ogwumike, whose parents are from Nigeria, had a game-high 18 points and 10 rebounds for the American women. The 24-year-old Ogwumike just completed her third professional season with the Los Angeles Sparks in the Women's National Basketball Association, or WNBA. Her name, Neka, means Mother is Supreme in Nigeria's Igbo language, and Neka was definitely supreme against the Angolans. And after that Nigeria language lesson, I'd be remiss if I didn't wish all our Voice of America listeners in Nigeria a happy Independence Day. Getting back to the FIBA Basketball World Championship for Women, Angola and the other African representative, Mozambique, finished on the very bottom of the final standings after each team suffered three consecutive losses in group play. The defending champion USA, meanwhile, is now preparing